started singing. And so we're going to go ahead and get into the preaching here. And for those of you who do not know, this is Taylor McManigill. This is Monty and Carolyn's son. And he is a pastor in Michigan. And how long have you been a pastor there, sir?
3 years.
He's been a pastor now for 3 years. And many of you know he is a homegrown product here at a Grace Baptist Church. And so those who do not know, Taylor, would you just tell the folks a little bit about yourself? And, of course, thank them for what they've done for you. And look forward to hearing from you this evening, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well, I definitely always want to thank Grace for all of their care and love and patience, long-suffering. How many other gracious words can you put in there? I still remember Neil. You say, how can you forget him? You know, Neil made a great impact in my life because he gave me the first opportunity to teach in Sunday school. And although I really failed at it, I think it lasted for about 2-3 minutes, maybe. He's always forgiving there. And then I got multiple other times to preach. And I remember coming back actually for a New Year's Eve party, and I was asked to preach. And right before all the celebration happened, and I really messed it up. I'll tell you what, I just couldn't connect any points. And you'll probably think the same thing tonight, so just be more patient and more long-suffering. And you know, Harold Gordon came up to me afterwards, and I always knew that he would tell me the truth. And he goes, you know, there's always a next time. There's always a next time. And he just smiled at me. You know, he's a wonderful man. A wonderful man. So many other people that have been so influential in my life. I'll tell you what, teenagers, get up in the choir. Sing. Even if you can't sing, sing. I'll tell you what, some of the best times was up next to Delbert and Gary Yonker and Charlie Falk and Charlie Van Hoosier, Pat Shanks. He couldn't sing, but he still did it, right? So many others that were part of choir, and you know, I learned so much. Barry and Michelle, I'll tell you what, they were the transition people, it seemed like. Because we went from Pastor McPhillips to Barry, to Jason, to Barry, to Luke, and I was gone by then. Went off to college. But you know, Barry and Michelle, he was my counselor at Camp Assurance, and he taught me a lot then. Make sure you have all of your clothes when you go to the shower, and don't lose any along the way. But you know, he was also a spiritual teacher there for me as well. And I just want to thank you so much for being Grace Baptist Church. I want to thank you for putting in all that time and that effort. And it goes a long way. And some of you, you probably step back and you wonder, why in the world would I spend so much time, especially Josh Clayton, you know? You know, Josh Clayton, one time we were wrestling around in youth group, and he picked me up. You know, you don't think that he could ever do that, right? I mean, I'm so big, and he picked me up, and he had me over top of his head. And my older sister, Emily, came in with her shoe, her wooden shoe. And back when the wooden clogs were so in style, and I don't understand why, but she came in, and she started hitting it, and I just, Emily, stop, stop. She's like, he's hurting you. I said, no, I started it. You know, we had so much fun, but there was so much teaching that was involved, and I can always remember back to the teaching, to the faithfulness, I remember talking to Betty Newman. It's so hard to say. It's usually Mrs. Newman, right? They came up for my ordination, and she goes, so, you realize what the pastor life is all about, huh? I said, yeah, there's a lot that Pastor Newman does not tell people. And there's a lot that college does not prepare you for either. There's nothing but God and his people that can help you with that. But I tell you what, being a pastor, most of you probably think it's the easiest job in the world because we only work a day and a half. And that's if we feel like we're able to do it, you know. Otherwise, we schedule a guest speaker, you know. I'll tell you what, it's one of the most rewarding jobs you could ever be a part of. Amen. I would never go back. And it's not because of the paycheck, folks. I can show you mine. And that's not what keeps me there. To see people being changed by the Word of God. Amen. That's what it's all about. And to see this tonight, this is amazing. Full pews. I just can't wait till you get that open. I thought it was going to be open by the time I got here. But open that up. I say first Sunday, fill it. Amen. You got more room? Let's put in more people. Because you need to hear the Word of God. Because that's the only thing that's going to change people. Trump isn't going to change anybody. Bernie Sanders isn't going to change anybody. Welfare isn't going to change anybody. Only God can change people. So as we come into this here tonight, listen. I want to talk to you about something that's really affected me. Let's go to John chapter 15. And I ask you, don't rely on this up here. Go to the Word of God, okay? I know it's up there. It's helpful. It's in large print. You say, my Bible's got too small a print, so that's why I look up there. Okay, good. Don't get focused on just relying on the screen to look up passages in the Word of God, okay? Because you need to know where they are. As we go to John chapter 15, and I want to tell you something about what I have been learning this past year. And I'm sorry, camera guys, if I move around too much, that's what you get paid the big bucks for. So I'll tell you what, and it goes right along with what Pastor was talking about today, goes along with what Pastor was talking about Wednesday night, goes along with what John was teaching. And by the way, that was excellent. Don't miss out on Sunday school. That's so important. Amen. So important. But as what I've been learning this past year, it's been huge for me and really eye-opening. And yes, I've been church all my life, and yet he still teaches me things through the same verse that I've memorized in VBS 1,000 times to get points so I could win a scooter or something like that. And you still are being taught things as we go through the Word of God. And there's something about this past year where I struggled big time, and I still will struggle with this, and I think every pastor struggles with this. I believe many Christians struggle with this. And I'll just describe it in this way. In our community, the local high school and junior high, they asked me to come out and to be a part of this, what they call the Challenge Day. And I don't know if you've ever had that at your local school. I don't agree with the way that they do things, but I am looking for ways to get into the local high school. Okay, so I'm not going to go in and I'm not going to teach evolution or what have you, but I am going to look for opportunities to give the gospel. And we've got many teens and young kids from there, and so I want to go in and try to get on a level that where they're at, okay? So I got invited in for this challenge day, and this challenge day is all about just trying to bring people together, to really bring out all the issues that we deal with in our daily life. And you would be amazed, some of you would be amazed at the very fact that most of our teens deal with suicidal thoughts consistently. I was just talking to our camp director up there, because we had a campfire service on a Friday night, and just about half, if not 75% of the testimonies were about how they had suicidal thoughts. I talked to him. I said, okay, it hasn't been that long since I've been in high school, and it was extremely rare to ever even hear about that. And 5 years down the road, and everybody's thinking about ending their lives. Just because they can't get along with their parents. Just because they never feel adequate. Just because of all these other things that are coming up. And so this is what was coming up. It was try to decrease bullying, try to encourage just really self-esteem for these kids. And I didn't agree with this. They would tell you, well, before you can love others, you have to love yourself. And I don't believe that, because I believe we already love ourselves more than anything else. And that's why God says, sacrifice, take up your cross every day and follow. So we're going and we are in charge of these small groups. And so then they ask, so what is your biggest struggle in life? And usually pastors would just say people, right? You know, no. What is your biggest struggle in your life? I mean, I was in a small group with high schoolers one day, junior high the next day, and the group leader has to say what they're struggling with first. You have to be open and honest and transparent. And so I thought about it for a few seconds. We weren't prepared for this. These questions, they were just impromptu. And I thought about it. I said, you know what, teens? I struggle with the feeling that I am never enough. I'm always inadequate. all the obstacles that come into my life, I never feel like I'm strong enough to get past them. I never feel like I'm big enough. You say, yeah, look at you. You're not big enough. But I never feel like I'm big enough to get over them. Some of the things, and you would be amazed. I wish you all could just hang out with your pastor for a day and to go in some of the counseling sessions. You would be amazed at what people are dealing with. Your eyes would open, your mouth would just drop when you started figuring out what's actually going on with the people in your church. All the struggles, all the depression, all the hurts, the inadequacies that people are dealing with. And then as a pastor, I'll tell you this. And this is not to discourage you from laying and trying to get help from your pastor. This is not, because I tell you what, we as pastors love to be there for our people. And we would be there at any moment, at any time, doesn't matter what. But I tell you what, no matter what you think, they take every burden and they take it upon themselves, and it's constantly weighing on their mind. It's constantly weighing, how can I help these people? How can I lift them up? How can I get them to be okay during this time where no doctor has an answer? They keep going back to doctor after doctor after doctor. And they don't want to tell anybody else. They don't want to tell you even the full truth, because they do not believe that you care enough or have the adequate knowledge or help to be able to help them in the situation. And so every morning we wake up. I believe Cody, Pastor Cody, I believe you're probably here. I believe Pastor McPhillips is probably here. We wake up and we see this huge long list of burdens that we care so much for the flock of Jesus Christ that God has put us in charge of to under shepherd. We say, what do we do? What do we do? How do we help? How do we be there for them? Nights of just sleepless nights. Tears. Because you're at total loss. But then there's this verse, okay? There's the Christian saying, okay, well, God will never give you above what you can handle. You've heard that, right? Okay? Have any of you struggled with that phrase? Well, I should be enough to handle anything that God throws at me, right? Understand the context behind that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'm going to skip John 15. It might be on the back of the screen there, but we'll go back to that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, this is what the verse that you get that from. And it says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Everybody's got the same temptations, okay? If you've dealt with it, somebody else have, you're not alone. So that's encouraging. You are not alone as a human being dealing with the temptation that you have. And you say, no, I'm so unique. I'm telling you, there is someone else out there that is dealing with that same trial, that same issue, because we all have issues. And it says, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Do you notice that part? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. What's that next part? But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so this Christian saying, oh, God will never give you anything that you won't be able to handle. I don't think that's complete. Do you? Because on your own, you are not enough. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, what does it talk about there? But God has chosen the foolish things. God hath chosen, that's why I'm a pastor. He chose the fool. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He uses what is nothing and just blows everyone else out of the water. Why? Because it's not me that does anything. It is God. And when I stand or I get up in the morning and wake up and say, I can't stand against all of these trials, all of these obstacles, all of these prayer requests, that it just keeps lengthening and just keeps on going. And all these things that nobody else knows about, I have to hold it all in. And all these things that are here, listen, I am weak, but He is strong. So as you come into this, and you come into this last year, listen, I'll tell you what, and coming into this next year, I'll still feel the same way. I'll still feel the same way. I am not adequate for the position that God has given me. But it's because of God that I can do what I do. Amen. And that's the same for anybody that sits here in this room that is a child of God. So as you come into this, I want to teach you about one word, and that's the title, remain. I want to teach you about one word that, listen, I think over the past, okay, I'm 26 now, okay, I'll be 27 in March, all right, and you say, you young whippersnapper, you have never even experienced anything yet, okay? And 26 years, okay, and quite a few of them have been at Grace Baptist Church. All right, and I don't know about you, but I've seen quite a few come and go. And you say, well, it's your fault, Taylor, why they left. Well, there's a few of them. But listen, when we're faced with the fact that we are not enough, when the obstacles hit, when the trials come in, when the cancer seeps in, when the loss of life, listen, this past year, we were having revival services. Started them on Sunday morning. And man, I was so excited. I was ready to go. We were having the Fraser team. And they've got music, they've got all these instruments, and great preacher. I worked with the evangelist at a camp, and I was so excited. And the day of, I went back to my house, and I actually fell asleep. This is not unusual for a Sunday, because if I fall asleep, I don't usually wake up. Very nice, okay? And naps are not good for me. So, but I fell asleep. I was sitting in a lazy boy with my daughter, and I get this call. I woke up, and one of the most influential men in our church passed away. Been there for over 40 years. A man of God that has been put so much time and effort during the times when the church just about got snuffed out, he continued because of God. And you just step back, and I said, okay, I'll be over there. I'll be over there as soon as possible. So we get over there. We meet with the family. We try to be there for them. Then I got to get back for the evening service. And they sang the song, Still My Soul Be Still. And I don't know if you've ever heard it. Well, you just did. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it again. Still My Soul Be Still. and do not fear. The winds of change may rage tomorrow. Still, my soul, be still. And I hadn't gotten a chance to mourn yet. And I just started weeping right in the front pew. And everybody's just looking at you. It's like, oh, I just gotta hold it all back. Gotta hold it all back. Gotta be brave. Be the leader. You know, those words hit me so strong. Because the only way that our soul can be still is through God. Amen. And through the loss of life, knowing that one day I will see him again because of his testimony in Christ. He was a child of God. One day I will be there. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain, no more sickness, no more drama. There's Jesus. Amen. So as you come into this passage, listen, there's all kinds of things that are facing, but I ask you to do this. Amidst all of this, you can remain.
Amen.
Only because of this passage. John chapter 15, if you're there, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, it says there, I am the true vine. Who's this talking? Jesus. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. You know what that word right there means, abide? It means remain. It means stick with it. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. As I sat there and listened to the sermon this morning, I mean, we need to be prepared for the worst. But how do we be prepared for the worst? We remain in Jesus Christ. We stick with Jesus Christ. And over the years, we've seen him come and go. I imagine many of us, I mean, John talked about it today. He didn't want to stick around. It's difficult. Starting a church, that's difficult. It's hard work. You got to put more into it than just sitting in a pew. And often more than what you can get, you feel like you can give. And we've had, I imagine many have had temptations. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm so tired of what is going on in my life. It doesn't seem what is happening. What is going on? But yeah, we can. If we remain. And so how do we do that? What is all the details about remaining in Jesus Christ? Before we get into that, we need to go to the Word, or to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. Just help us just to seek your face, to seek your truth. Allow your Holy Spirit to fill us and to change us, mold us. In your name. Amen. He goes into this, and you see the background behind John chapter 15. What is actually happening is they've already had the Last Supper. Judas has already left. Can you imagine what's happening with the disciples? They really don't have any clue what's going on. I mean, they literally don't have any clue. And so they're coming into this Last Supper. Judas has left. Jesus talked about somebody betraying him. I mean, there's all these questions about who it is. But Judas has left, and Jesus is trying to explain to him, okay, there's somebody who has betrayed. I'm going to explain to you the difference between him and you. I'm going to explain to you the difference that you don't have to do what he did. You don't have to walk away at any moment. You can remain. And here it is. He names off several different individuals in this depiction here, in this illustration. It says, I am the true vine. Who's the true vine? Jesus Christ. He is claiming that himself. And if you think of that, they had the perfect illustration right in front of them. I mean, all over the place. And these vines, the grapevines that were all over. And he's describing, I am the true vine. And we'll get into that word, true, here in a moment. But then he describes, and my Father is the husbandman. So God the Father is the one that is at work. He's the one that put everything into play. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He put it into play. He's the one working in here. And he says, my Father is the husbandman. He's the one that's going around and he's taking care of all the different plants. Which is one plant right now, the true vine, Jesus. And then there's these branches. How do you describe these? It says, every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he taketh away. So there's a branch that's not producing anything. What do you do with a branch that produces nothing? I mean, what do? Well, if you ask Harold, you shoot it out with a gun. I mean, that's what he told me. I thought that would be fun. Okay, but you get rid of it. You cut it off. You want the rest of the tree to grow. You cut it off. You let it, you put it in a pile, you burn it, you have like a nice bonfire, put some hot dogs over it. I mean, I guess it was beneficial for something, right? But no, this is what he's doing right here. This is this dead branch. It's not producing any fruit. So God the Father comes in, he cuts it off, he throws it to the side. It's going to get burned. What happens next? It says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. What is that talking about? That word there is the point of cleaning or pruning. Okay, and if any of you deal with flowers or any type of a fruit tree or what have you, you've seen this happen. If you want something to flourish, you're going to prune it. Why? Because you want the good branches to keep flowing. Okay, and there's at some points where you just need to cut off some so the nutrients keep producing more and there's more fruit, and it's amazing how it all works. You're like, why would that happen? We had this Rose of Sharon, a couple of them outside of our church, and they're just kind of looking shabby. I had a lady come up, she says, can I cut half of it off? I said, well, let's try it. Let's see how it goes. She cuts half of it off. It looks kind of weird. And then all of a sudden, during the spring, summer, it blossomed the most amazing way that I've ever seen it since we've been there. And that's what it needed. It needed the pruning that was happening. So one that bears fruit is going to get pruned. It's going to be purged there, that it may bring forth more fruit. Okay, so as you see here, there's a true vine, which is Jesus Christ. There is God the Father, who's the husbandman. And then you see there's a branch that's not producing anything, and then there's branches that are producing something. And as he's describing here of what Judas is going on, you ask, okay, is this branch that's not producing anything, is that a believer who has accepted Jesus Christ, and God's going to cut them off and to throw them into hell? Does that go with the context of the rest of the word? No, because we have eternal security in Christ if we are in him. And so as we come into this, you wonder, what is going on? Do you notice he says also that he is a true vine? Okay, you notice that Judas came in and he latched onto Jesus because he was asked to follow him. And he latched on. He stuck around. And he professed Jesus Christ, but he never possessed Jesus Christ. He never saw who Jesus really was. He never saw that he was the true vine that he was supposed to latch onto. No, he was there, and it seemed like he was a little bit more infatuated with money. Why would you pour that all over Jesus? I mean, come on, let's sell it and give the money to the poor. Oh, why did he turn in Jesus? Well, he got 30 pieces of silver. And so do you really believe that he was connected to Jesus Christ? That he was soaking up everything that Jesus Christ had to offer? No, he was one who was there that professed but did not possess. There's a problem here. And so how do we remain here? What's he pointing out? Well, here's the first point. You must have the right source.
Amen.
You must have the right source. And this is what Judas did not have. And this is what many who profess Christ do not have. There are many that walk around and say, "Oh, I am a Christian," but you will never see them darken the steps of the church. And you say, "Why?" Well, my relationship with Jesus Christ is between me and him. What Bible are you reading? What does he say in Hebrews? Chapter 10. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Provoke unto love and to good works. There was an issue. He says that there was some who was not coming and being a part of the church. They did not love what God loved. And so it's just it's a cop-out, and it's an excuse. So I just don't want to go. I just don't want to be involved. Why? Well, because I got other things to do. What is their source at that point? The fruit of what they have right there is, oh, it's all about me. I've got better things to do. I've got more important things to do. You see it. You've seen it. Maybe you're there. I've got better things to do than follow around and listen to this guy preach and ramble on for, I mean, he had two sermons today. I mean, for crying out loud, what in the world? I thought they were really good sermons, by the way. What's it all about? Getting to the true source. There's a lot of people out there that say, "Oh, yes, I'm a Christian." Well, how did you get saved? My mom and dad took me to church one day, and I got sprinkled. It might have helped your smell, but that's the only thing that helped. Oh, well, you know what? I became a member of Grace Baptist Church. You walk around in our community, and listen, everybody knows everybody. Okay, Silverwood is about the size of a Wanaco, maybe smaller. Okay, but we've got all these little dinky villages around there. All right, everybody knows everybody. So you walk around and you say, "Hey, do you go to church anywhere?" "Oh, yes, I go to Dayton Center Church." "Oh, really? Well, I'm the pastor of Dayton Center Church." "Oh, well, I went there 30 years ago." "Oh, how good is that doing you?" I mean, you're starting to see things and starting to profess things, and there's people who would walk around and say, "Oh, well, you know, my Jesus would never send anybody to hell." Have you been reading the Word? He says there, he says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Here's the word of God. Here it is. Listen to it. Be changed by it. Are you connected to the right source? Are you involved? Are you connected? And I'm not saying church is the source. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that in ways you work out your love for Jesus Christ by loving what he loves. And you know what? You know who he died for? The church. Because you know what? You know why you're here tonight? Not because you wanted to see me mess up, okay? You know why you're here tonight? Because somebody else in here needs you. That's it. And you're here to worship God. I'm not going to do a Joel Osteen's wife and say, you don't come to church for God. You come to church for you, folks. That's not true. You're supposed to be here to worship God and to provoke one another into love and to good works. And so you say, I don't even know why I'm here tonight. I guess it's just my duty or what have you. Or that's why you're here. And you say, well, I come here right at the time and I leave right afterwards and I never talk to anybody. Are you really getting involved in the local church? So as you see here, as you come in here and you see what's going on here, and he says the word is what's cleansed you. We need to get involved in that. You need to get into the true source to learn it, to understand it, to obey it. There's all these things. Jesus, he is the only one that can change. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so as you come to this and you see that he says, I am the true vine. He's the only one that you could link into. And so he's the only one that can help you remain. If you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not there. It says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. This is the fact of God dwelling in you. Salvation. Right here. So as you see here in this first point, you must have the right source. You must be connected in that way. And listen, it's popular to go around and say, and there's a lot of people that say, yes, I'm going to heaven, and but they're not connected to the right source. They've never been involved with the right source. And so, and that source is Jesus Christ, and we need to know that. But as you see in this, and the second point is going to be very short, and the fact of you must continue in the right source. You say, well, duh. I mean, that's right in the word. Yes, it is. Abide. Remain. This is not just, I love Jesus today, but tomorrow I'm going to follow after my own path, folks. This is a remaining in the right source. Continual connection into the source of life. Abide in Jesus Christ. And he will abide in you. This is a continual thing. This is what happens. And don't let anything else get in the way. Jesus came and he said that I'm going to divide families. He said, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to love our families. Yeah, that is true. But how many of you have come to Christ and a family member has looked down on you for it? How many of you said, okay, I'm going to give my life to him, and one of your friends said, you're an idiot. You would give your life to some fairy tale? I mean, come on, seriously? Oh, but my job is getting in the way, and I can never go to church because of my job. Now I understand. We got to work. We got to take care of our families. I'm a strong supporter. If you don't take care of your family, there's big judgment for that, men. But never let your career get in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Never let your sports get in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Never let schooling get in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Never let family members get in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because listen, folks, when they see that you are so committed that you're ready to give up everything else for the cause of Christ, they're going to start saying, is he really worth it? Maybe he is. Are they really committed? are they really connected to the true source here, the source of life? Is it really having some sort of difference in their life? I mean, they've given up everything for the cause of Christ. He must mean a lot. He must be doing something in their life. And so as you come into this, I mean, you must be in the right source, but you must continue in the right source. And that does not mean waiting for Pastor Cody or Pastor McPhillips to give you the only word of God for the week. And you say, well, I'm a man, I hate reading. I don't see it anywhere in the Word of God where Jesus says, well, you know what? If you hate reading, don't get involved in the Word. And plus, we have so much technology here today that you can listen to the Bible over and over and over again. And listen, you need to be getting in the Word of God. We need to be so Bible literate. And it is a representation, and everybody can see that we are in the Word of God and that we are understanding it, that we are getting into that last point here of living it out. Because in order to remain, we must be connected to the right source. We must stay connected, must continue in the right source, but we must also live out the right source. Because when we come into that point in the very beginning where I start talking about, I feel totally inadequate, I feel like I'm never enough. Did you know that that is the gospel? Do you know that Jesus came in and says, hey, you are not enough? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You cannot do anything except through me. That's exactly what it says right there. It says there in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You are totally inadequate. That is the gospel. That's why we need salvation. We are desperate and lost. And so if you're here tonight and you have never been saved, you've never given your life to God, this is the night for you. Don't wait. Don't wait. The lifeline's out there. Salvation is offered. You just got to take it. As you come into this, the gospel is not just for your salvation and the day that you get saved. We are supposed to live out the gospel every day of our lives. Because every day that we wake up, we realize that we are not enough and that we must abide and remain in our Lord Jesus Christ. We must be living it out. There is some sort of a change. You say, what is the change? There's a couple of verses that I'm going to mention for you here today. There's repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:9-10. It should be up on the screen there. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. When we are remaining in Jesus Christ and living out the gospel, we are going to see sin for what it is. It is sin. It is going against God's law. It's a moment of disbelief in God, saying that I am better than God. My will is higher than God's. When I have two choices on the shelf and I choose myself over God. And so when we are involved with Jesus Christ in that relationship with him, there is going to be this idea, this fact, this living out of seeing sin for what it truly is and want to stay as far away from it as I possibly can. Can I do that on my own? No, we are remaining in Jesus Christ. And so you can never conquer sin on your own. He has the power to conquer sin and death. So there's repentance. What else is there? You go into the next verse there. It's Galatians 5, 22 through 23, and you see that in the verse. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the fruit of the Spirit. These are the attitudes that are being developed in us as we remain in Jesus Christ. This is what's coming out. This is what is coming out on this branch as we are sourced in the right source, Jesus Christ. So this is what is happening. This is coming out. And you say, yes, I used all of that on you, Taylor. Thank you. Thank you for remaining in the source, the true source, Jesus Christ. And for using love. Self-sacrificial love, folks. Joy. Peace. Man, if every church could be representative of the peace of God, no drama. How many of you are tired of drama? Can we say let's zilch it for 2017? It's gone. Does it help anybody? Well, I just didn't get my way. Well, that's why we have Jesus as our Lord. And is it really going to matter for eternity? Well, Pastor Cody, he looked at me funny. Get used to it. You look funny. All right? There's all kinds of things where we can create drama, but the moment that we create drama and there's no peace that's happening between us and the person that's right next to us, what fruit is being laid out there? What are we showing the world that's around us? Because they're in the taverns. How many taverns do you have in Taylorville? How many drugs do you have running the streets? What do they need? Jesus Christ. And so as you see this, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Thank you. Thank you for your long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. May this be played out in us. May this be representative of Grace Baptist Church and Dayton Center Church. I know there's a few of you out here are from other churches. May it be representative of your church because we are the body of Jesus Christ. What's this last verse that I want to give you? And listen, this is not an exhaustive list, but Romans chapter 1 and verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. He wants to let them know, here, be knowledgeable, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Listen, there are a lot of people in Taylorville, more than in Silverwood, okay? But there's a lot of people without Jesus Christ. And listen, as a church, we should never be content with the size of our church. Amen. You say, well, I mean, are we always about numbers? No. When did that ever come into play? That changes nobody, numbers. What comes into play is that those people out there are dying and going to hell. Amen. What are we doing about it? Amen. Well, ignoring them? Letting them go by? Let them do what they do. I don't want to cause problems. I don't want them to look at me weird. What are they going to do when they are in hell thinking about the opportunity you had to share the gospel with them? That I had, but I was too much of a wimp to let them know. I was too scared. My pride got in the way. Listen, this is a fruit, and you say, well, what if I don't see any fruit in my life? Are you in the Word? Are you in the Word? That's the pruning. We react, there's trials that happen to our life, and then the Word comes in. That's that sword, the double-edged sword that comes in, and it divides into the deepest depths of who we are. It's the pruning. It's the getting rid of the weights and sins that beset us in our race. And as we come into this, listen, let the Word of God change you. Get in the Word of God. Let it cleanse you. He stated it right there. The Word of God cleanses you. So as we come into this, listen, I just want to encourage you. Remain. Remain in the right source. Remain by staying connected. That is important. Well, I just don't feel like being a Christian today. Well, it's a good thing that salvation is not a feeling. It's a fact. So stay connected and live out the gospel. Remain in that. As we come to this, listen, we have another year before us. We have another year standing right before us, and there's going to be all kinds of trials that we're going to face. We're going to lose loved ones. We're going to hit obstacles that we don't know how to get through. But listen, God is going to give you above what you can handle. If you want to see that, just go read Job. I'm preaching through that on Sunday nights. I tell you, that is one of the most depressing books. In the middle of it, one of the most depressing books that you could ever read. Losing your children. Losing all of your livestock and having your wife come up to you and say, just deny God. Curse God and die. And you say, how evil of her. Have you ever stood next to a suffering person? You're the love of your life. And they're dealing with so much pain. And you can't do a single thing for them. And remember, she went all through those trials herself. She lost her children. She lost their means of wealth. And then he has these three friends that come up. And by the way, they sit with him for a week in silence. Could any of you do that? I couldn't. Silence makes me nervous. It does. So I just start rambling and say, oh, yeah, he's at it again. Sat with him for a week, and that was the most loving thing that they could ever do for him, because what they did afterwards was totally arrogant and sinful. Oh, you must have sinned, because our God is one of those that if you do right, you're going to get all these blessings. And if you do wrong, you get all these cursings. And they try to fit him into this little equation. And God, in the end of that, says, I am not a part of your equation. But I am bigger than what you could ever imagine. Let me hand over to you the universe. Let's see if you could control it for one day. Just think about that. Now think of your problems. God is going to give you more than you can handle. Because he's showing us that we need to be dependent on the God who can handle anything. So remain. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. So much for your love and your care. So much for your truth, your honesty, showing us that we are not adequate, showing us that we are not enough, showing us that we need you. Lord, just help us to always see your truth, to be changed by it. Lord, I pray for those who have come and have gone. I pray with those for those who are not here with us today, who there are people facing issues, realize that they were not enough, and didn't see you as their God. I just ask that you would help them to see you as the God of the heavens, the one that can control everything, the one that can help them through anything and everything that they have in their life. Lord, just help us with 2017 just to remain in you. In your name, amen. There you go.
Head bow, nice close, and we'll just finish this time in a word of prayer. Folks, everything that we've learned today has just folded together and fit together, and praise the Lord for that with Taylor. Close it out, and understanding that, folks, whatever God brings this year, we must remain. And the only way we're going to remain is if we find ourselves in that true source. And so we're just going to give you a few minutes of prayer. And you guys, your own seat here, take the time, in this quiet, still, small time, to just tell God, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to remain. And listen, through remaining, I'm going to produce fruit, and I'm going to grow.